quite emotional and inspirational, philosophical and yes, very logical, teaching you the method for lounging. Everybody knows they have times when they want to just lay back, kick their feet up, you know, listen to some good music, or just lounge. That's right. I said lounge,
Hello, this is Pamela Badilla, your neighbor from Data Data International Folkloric Theater, and you're listening to your radio station, WGXC, Acre, New York, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene County. Enjoy.
On Monday, September 12th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM WGXC, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. Melissa Everett, Executive Director of Sustainable Hudson Valley, talks about all the events they're doing for the Hudson Valley Climate Solutions Week from September 17th to 25th, including one event at Basilica Hudson in Hudson. And then at 10 a.m., it's time to hop on the Afrosonic Taxi, this week with tracks from Sita Naran, Usa Mahashi, and Grupo Lakito, among others. Brenda Donegan is playing favorites at 11 a.m. live from the WGXC Hudson studio. Then at noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Three Show. Tracks this week from Jessica Lurie Ensemble, Claudia Antonelli, and Margaret Brower, among others. There's brand new music from around the world at 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly Show, including works this week from Maya Bernardo, Bram Tremp, and Marcia Bassett. At 6 p.m., it's time for the All Together Now news show with a report about the art show that's up at the Opaka Gallery in Albany. And tune in for In My Room Radio and a special two-hour musical fest from Sadie Woods at 10 p.m. on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC. Turn out or tune in to two of the world's greatest percussionists performing in Catskill at the Avalon Lounge on October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Composers and percussionists Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt perform with a live web stream at WGXC.org. Turn out or tune in for Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Sunday, October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing.
90.7 FM, listener aided and abetted radio.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Will Solomon reports in the Times Union about a radical anti-vaccine group holding a rally September 10th in Columbia County as vaccines save people from COVID-19, monkeypox, polio, and other diseases around the world. The festival in a field at Claverick's Cowboy Crossing Farm is being promoted by Do We Need This?, a Columbia County-based group that spread vaccine misinformation during the pandemic. The group also had a booth at the Columbia County Fair this year, promoting misinformation about vaccines. Patrick Connors, a Hillsdale resident who works on VaxFacts, a semi-regular newsletter that reports on COVID disinformation activity in Columbia County, said, and I quote, opposing vaccination and other public health measures to counter COVID-19 and spreading disinformation put the health of our entire Columbia County community at risk, particularly the elderly and other people with health conditions. DWNT are, in effect, advocating for their own freedom to catch and transmit COVID and other dangerous diseases to vulnerable community members, end quote. Richard Harrison, owner of Cowboy Crossing Farm, claims that, and I quote, the Columbia County Health Freedom Movement does not have a right-wing connection at all, end quote. Connor says that is also misinformation. He said, and I quote, on the national level, there have been a growing overlap between the anti-vax movement and the far right, and we're seeing the same here in Columbia County. Anti-vaxxers, some of whom support causes like organic farming and the environment, are making common cause with the far right and vice versa, end quote. One of the speakers at the Clabric event is Bobby Ann Cox, who has falsely claimed about the January 6, 2021 attempted coup that, and I quote, there is evidence coming to light that radical groups like Antifa, BLM, and other agitators were probably there and may have planned it as a distraction so that Congress could certify a fraudulent election while everyone focused on the media hysteria, end quote. That is not true. Right-wing groups backing former President Donald Trump organized and participated in the attempted coup trying to overturn fair election results. Michael Sesselman, a Columbia County-based public health professional, said, and I quote, it's sad that people at the festival will be spreading and supporting lies about vaccines and spreading conspiracy theories. Reducing rates of vaccination increases the likelihood that we will see more outbreaks of preventable illness like measles and possibly polio, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nolan Hicks and Zach Williams report in the New York Post that Governor Kathy Hochul announced an emergency expansion of the state's polio vaccination efforts on September 9th after more of the deadly virus was found in Long Island wastewater. The state's health commissioner, Dr. Mary Bassett, said in a statement, and I quote, on polio, we simply cannot roll the dice. If you and your child are unvaccinated or not up to date with vaccinations, the risk of paralytic disease is real. Polio immunization is safe and effective, protecting nearly all people against disease who receive the recommended doses. Do not wait to vaccinate, end quote. Hochul's order allows pharmacists, paramedics, and midwives to dispense the vaccine now. Polio was effectively eliminated in the United States in the 1970s following decades of aggressive vaccination. Now, though, only 79% of New Yorkers are vaccinated for polio. And you can read the full story in the New York Post. CNN reports that Republican Yop Deal takes on Democratic State Attorney General Mara Healey to become governor of Massachusetts this November. Deal defeated businessperson Chris Daugherty by backing former President Trump more wholeheartedly during the primary campaign. Massachusetts, while known as a liberal state, often elects Republicans as governor, with only one Democrat, Deval Patrick, getting elected over the past 30 years. Current Republican Governor Charlie Baker decided not to seek re-election this year, but the former president looms over this election. Trump said of the Republican candidate, and I quote, Yop Deal is a true patriot, a believer in low energy costs and our independent energy policy, end quote. Deal refused to debate his Republican opponent in the primary. Daugherty said of Deal, and I quote, he's too extreme for our state. He pursues conspiracy theories. He has beliefs that are just not consistent with the state of Massachusetts, end quote. He added, and I quote, it makes him not electable, end quote. Healey, on the other hand, would be the state's first elected woman governor, as well as the first out lesbian governor there. Read more about this story at CNN. Mid-Hudson News reports that Johanna Contreras, a deputy county executive in Ulster County, was sworn in as acting county executive on September 9th. She temporarily takes over for Pat Ryan, who resigned after being elected to take over the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's term in the 19th Congressional District in Congress. Delgado resigned to become lieutenant governor. Contreras said, and I quote, "I am committed to building upon the success of County Executive Pat Ryan's administration and continuing our work to support green growth and economic opportunity, provide financial relief to residents, and govern with transparency and fiscal responsibility. I have always centered the values of equity and inclusion and will continue to do so as acting Ulster County Executive," end quote. Contreras won't have the role for long, though, as a special election will be held to fill out Ryan's term. Ulster County Comptroller Mark Gallagher, former State Senator Jennifer Metzger, and Deputy County Executive Mark Ryder so far have expressed interest in running. Republicans so far have not put forth any names as possible candidates to run for Ulster County Executive. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather reports, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Here is this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democrat Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan, who now represents the 19th District, has yet to cast a vote.
Rick Collin reports in the Times Union that hunting groups are criticizing Representative Elise Stefanik for a bill she's co-sponsoring that would repeal a decades-old excise tax on firearms. The gun tax funds wildlife conservation and other environmental protections. Caden MacArthur, the government relations representative for backcountry hunters and anglers, said, and I quote, "There wasn't any consultation with sportsmen's or sportswomen's groups," end quote. The bill is more political theater than reality right now, as Democratic majorities in Congress are unlikely to pass the measure. Shortly after Democratic Representative Don Byers of Virginia introduced a bill to impose a 1,000% excise tax on assault-style weapons earlier this year, Republicans introduced the Repealing Excise Tax on Uninalienable Rights Now Act. Stefanik said, and I quote, "I am proud to join my colleagues in introducing legislation to eliminate this harmful tax that infringes on Americans' ability to exercise their Second Amendment rights. Make no mistake, I will not allow the government to tax the constitutional right of hardworking Americans by marking up the price to exercise one's Second Amendment rights," end quote. The tax dates back to 1937 and generates $18 million annually for New York State and more than $400 million since 1939 for a range of wildlife habitat protection and restoration efforts, as well as hunter safety programs. The Howl for Wildlife Group, the National Wildlife Federation, the National Wild Turkey Federation, and the Sportsmen's Alliance are among the groups in opposition to Stefanik on the issue. Stefanik represents the 21st Congressional District that will include Rensselaer County beginning next year. Read the full story in the Times Union.
The 538.com website looks at which politicians on the ballot this fall are falsely denying the legitimacy of the 2020 election. In New York, the candidate for governor and several congressional candidates in the Hudson Valley are on the list. There's been no proof that there was fraud in the 2020 presidential election. The website says the Republican Lee Zeldin, who is running for governor, quote, "accepted with reservations," unquote, the results of the 2020 election, even though he voted not to accept the results of the election hours after the attempted coup on January 6, 2021. Michael Henry, a Republican running for attorney general, is listed as having, quote, "no comment," unquote, on the issue. Joe Pinion, the Republican running for the U.S. Senate seat, is listed as, quote, "fully accepted," quote, of the election results. Republicans Liz Joy and Elise Stefanik, though, are listed as having, quote, "fully denied," unquote, the election results. Joy, who is running against incumbent Democrat Paul Tonko in the 20th Congressional District, attended the rally at the Capitol on January 6th. Stefanik, the incumbent in the 21st District, is one of former President Donald Trump's biggest backers and voted against certifying the election results on the night of January 6, 2021. The website says that Colin Schmidt, the Republican candidate in the 18th Congressional District, has, quote, avoided answering, unquote, the question. And the website says Mark Molinaro, running in the 19th Congressional District, has had, quote, no comment, unquote, on who is legally the president of the country. Go to 538.com for more information.
The Common Cause website is tracking Congress members' votes on democracy-related legislation at the Democracy Scoreboard. Democratic Representative Paul Tonko of the 20th Congressional District gets the best score locally. Tonko voted for all 18 democracy-related legislations tracked here and co-sponsored four of the bills. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican from the 21st Congressional District, only voted for one of the 18 bills tracked, the Courthouse Ethics and Transparency Act. Democrat Representative Sean Maloney, currently representing the 18th Congressional District, got a 16 out of 18 score, while there is no score for the 19th Congressional District after Antonio Delgado resigned and recently elected fill-in Pat Ryan has yet to cast a vote. The website says, and I quote, Common Cause does not endorse or oppose candidates. We simply provide constituents the facts about how your delegation voted, so you and the people you share this nonpartisan tool can make an informed and comprehensive evaluation of your legislator's performance, end quote. See Democracy Scoreboard for more information.
Chris McKenna reports in the Times Herald Record that the Republican congressional candidate Mark Molinaro's campaign manager is calling his candidate's loss in a special election to Pat Ryan rigged. Molinaro's campaign manager, Will Dawson, wrote in an email that, quote, the redistricting fiasco allowed Pat Ryan and Kathy Hochul to rig the election with two Democrat primary elections on the same day as the general and then lied about Mark's position on abortion and we still almost won, unquote. Saying that the election was rigged is similar to the lies about the 2020 presidential election told by former President Donald Trump. The date for the New York special election to fill Democrat Antonio Delgado's seat after he resigned to become lieutenant governor was largely chosen by law. It had to be set within 10 days of the resignation and had to be held within 3 months of the resignation. Dawson's complaint that the special election was held on the same day as other primary elections seems strange, as holding the elections on different days would have doubled the cost to taxpayers and clearly would have lowered turnout. Ryan responded to the baseless charge, saying that, quote, to use that language of rigged echoes really dangerous rhetoric trumpeted by our former president. It is beneath the dignity of the office we are both seeking, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Herald Record. Rebecca C. Lewis reports for City and State that there have not been any public polls released so far to tell who might be favored in the 19th congressional district election between Democrat Josh Riley and Republican Mark Molinaro. The Riley campaign, though, released the results of an internal poll conducted by Garen Hart Yang Research Group on September 9th that claims their candidate is leading. Internal polls usually favor the candidate paying for them, and in this poll, Riley leads with the backing of 47% of likely voters, with 44% backing Molinaro. The poll has a 5% margin of error and is paid for by the Riley campaign. Molinaro will likely release internal poll results soon with the opposite results. This poll surveyed voters on landlines and cell phones between August 29th and September 1st. Read more about this story at City and State. This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information. Here is this week's environmental news from WGXC. Go to the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org, for more about these stories and others.
Roger Dustin reports in the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul announced September the 4th that the Navanock Point wildfire in Minnewaska State Park Preserve in Ulster County has been contained after 8 days. The fire began August 27th after a suspected lightning strike and burnt over more than 140 acres of parkland, with more than 200 firefighters working to end the blaze. Hochul said, and I quote, "We took swift action, launched a coordinated response, and devoted every resource possible to help the first responders complete their mission. The emphasis over the coming days will be to address the areas of heat to achieve full control," end quote. Rain on September 4th and 5th should aid that process. The two Ulster County fires that broke out last week, Stonykill and Wurtsboro, are now also fully contained. Minnewaska State Park Preserve will reopen on September 7th, although some trails will remain closed indefinitely. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Larry Rulison is reporting for the Times Union. National Grid is predicting home heating bills in upstate New York will increase 39% this winter, a hike of roughly $50 more per month than last year. Melanie Littlejohn, National Grid's Regional Vice President for Customer and Community Management, said, and I quote, "These prices are significantly higher than they were last year," end quote. National Grid said the increase is the result of record national gas prices, as well as the increased gas delivery rates recently approved by the State Public Service Commission. Customers are charged for both supply and delivery. The supply charge is set using wholesale gas prices, while the delivery rate is set by the PSC. National Grid said the average five-month home heating bill will be approximately $943 for the period from November through March, $263 higher than the cost over the same five-month period last year. About $231 of the increase is due to wholesale gas costs. National Grid further noted that monthly electricity bills will also go up about $23 or 22% each month this winter, since most electricity in New York is made burning natural gas. All told, the average National Gas Grid combined gas and electric bill will be $75 higher this winter compared to last. Littlejohn said, and I quote, "National Grid has many assistance programs available, as well as energy-saving strategies, resources, and tips. We are encouraging our customers to take action now before the cold weather arrives," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Liz Montgomery is reporting for Porcupine Soup. Forest rangers responded over the weekend to two separate calls for injured hikers, one who was found just feet from the edge of Catterskills Falls. Greene County 911 contacted the rangers on the afternoon of September the 3rd about a person with an unstable lower leg injury on the Mary's Glen Trail. Rangers responded along with rescue crews and located a 32-year-old woman from Washington, D.C., splinted her injured ankle, gave her crutches, and helped carry her to a waiting ambulance that transported her to Kingston Hospital. On the morning of September 4th, Greene County 911 contacted rangers with a report of a person falling from the top of Catterskills Falls. When the rangers responded, they located a 22-year-old man from New Jersey with an unstable right ankle injury. He was found at the top of Catterskills Falls in the creek, approximately 12 feet from the edge of the 260-foot high fall. After moving the injured person to a safer spot, rangers, Hunter Police, and Hunter Ambulance administered first aid and carried him to the trail. The man was eventually transported to Kingston via ambulance. And you can read that full story at porcupinesoup.com.
We're now joined by our friend Henry the Hudson Whale. Welcome back to the show, Henry. Henry, did you know there's a boat stuck in the Hudson River for 4 days? That's right, up by Fort Edward. The boat operator made a wrong turn and ended up on a rock ledge. It's 6 people from out of the area were on the boat and had to be rescued. They're still trying to get the boat out. And officials predict it'll be next week sometime before that boat is out of the Hudson River. Meanwhile, all this weekend, September 9th and 10th, there are tugboats in the Hudson River, more so than usual, as the tugboat roundup begins. More bad news for Henry. The Gateway Tunnel project under the Hudson River won't be completed until 2035. That means lots of underwater banging. And we know how travel sounds underwater. Way better than in the air, because all the molecules are close together, and so the sound can travel through the molecules. Lots of noise in the Hudson River. The only good news to report this week in the Hudson River is all the work that the River Project is doing to bring back oysters. Oysters filter out all the bad stuff. That's right. We're ending on a good note, Henry. This has been your weekly environmental report about the Hudson River with our friend Henry the Hudson Whale.
Joined by Melissa Everett, who is the executive director of Sustainable Hudson Valley, and they are coordinating, hosting a festival of climate solutions on September 17th to 25th. So, Melissa, you want to give us a little introduction to Sustainable Hudson Valley and what is this festival of climate solutions about?
Alrighty, thank you, Mark. There are lots of environmental organizations that work on protecting resources. We work on helping people live and work differently to reduce our footprint. Our mission is all about speeding, scaling, jazzing up, and leveraging progress against climate change. But we are convinced that if we do that, we get a lot of other things right. We get the economy right. We get local planning right. We stop wasting resources and so forth. So Climate Solutions Week, inspired by New York City's Climate Week, my idea last year that I think has gotten a little bolder this year, it is a festival of ideas and a call to action. And it takes form through library workshops and dramatic readings and outdoor hands-on projects. And we've got a symposium run by Rockland County's Economic Development Office down at Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory, focusing on really interesting clean tech startups that are coming out of Columbia. We've got an event at Basilica Hudson on the 18th with Lila Connors, who's a filmmaker. She did Ice on Fire with Leonardo DiCaprio, and she's traveled around, you know, interviewing clean tech innovators all over the place, you know, from tiny low impact hydro to direct air capture to biochar. So we're really looking at the spectrum of things that are doable. And